Okay. Now, this Sunday morning, we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And so tonight I'm going to focus on just one sentence from the passage, but it's a very long sentence. It spans multiple verses. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 25, and then going through the entire sentence. 2 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 25. All right. And this is what Paul says. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil. In sleeplessness often. In hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Now, you'll remember that in this letter, Paul has been accused of being subpar as an apostle, of being deficient compared to the other false apostles who had come into the church. And here Paul is backed into a corner, and he's forced to defend his ministry, forced to defend his apostleship. And he defends himself along several lines. At this point, this long sentence describes Paul's sufferings as a minister. This is one of the ways that he's defending himself, his sufferings as a minister. And these are personal details about himself that church only partly knew. Now, my point tonight is simple. This is the point. People don't know your pain. People don't know your pain. People don't see what you suffered. People don't see what you now may be suffering. Paul, as he lists his sufferings, he lists violence done to him by the government, violence done to him by the Romans. He lists, the synagogue, he lists dangers of travel that are just part of his work. Drownings, floodings, dangerous crossings of the rivers. There were very few bridges, and it would be very easy to be swept away by the deepest part of a strong river. Robbery. He also cites severe physical stress, being exposed, being without shelter, long hours, starvation, exhaustion. And then he describes, at the pinnacle of it, the heavy internal burden that he carries, the thing that weighs on him most, the care of the church. But unless Paul had actually said this, unless he had written this out and sent it to them, most of the church would not have known what Paul suffered. And in the life of the congregation, that's something that we live with. People don't know what you have endured. They just don't know. And you don't know what others have endured. Many things are just left unspoken. Some people have endured terrible things. And without exaggeration, we could say some people have endured traumatic things, trauma. In childhood or as adults, it could be everything from assault to abandonment. Some people are struggling with mental health. No one knows about it, but they are struggling. Some people are in an abusive work situation, and most people don't realize that. Some people carry just terrible pain in their heart about their own son, about their own daughter. People just don't know what you're bearing. Now, the Bible presents something that's important for you in your troubles. And it's in two parts. It's, first of all, your troubles, they don't define you. Your troubles don't define you. But then secondly, the Bible also teaches that your troubles are significant. Your troubles. Let's just say for the sake of this discussion, your troubles, it's something like you've got some kind of endocrine dysfunction. That doesn't define you. As serious as it is, it does not define who you are. You are more than your disease. Your value to God is not defined by your disease. Your identity in the congregation is not defined by your disease. You are a person who has talents. You're a person who has gifts. You've got a ministry. You've got good work in this world, even with your disease. And the same thing goes with your past trauma. Your trauma does not define you. If you're a Christian, here's what does define you. If you're a Christian, here is your identity in part. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What else is defining you? What else is your identity? If you're a believer, Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's what defines you. That's your identity. You're a child of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That means you're an inheritor. It means what Christ is receiving in the will, you're receiving with him. You've got great wealth in the future. If indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. So your trouble doesn't define you, but your trouble is significant, and the scriptures recognize this as well. All of these troubles of Paul, all of them, they are severe, and they're significant. They batter him terribly. They put pressure on his faith, and the devil will try to tear you down. He'll try to tear you down the way that he tried to tear down righteous Job. And so your sufferings, even though they don't define you, your sufferings are significant enough that they merit sympathy. Christ himself suffered significantly. Think about his wilderness temptations. If you're suffering, it's not more spiritual to minimize the true degree of your pain. It's just not. It's actually faithful, like Paul does here, to disclose when it's appropriate, when it's the right time, when it would be upbuilding or helpful. It's appropriate to face and acknowledge the true, full degree of what God has brought upon you. But people just don't know. And then sometimes people do know, but then they make light of your suffering. And that's painful too. One of the effects of suffering is that it can be very isolating. But with all of that, all of this about suffering, great suffering, here's your comfort. Christ also suffered. And Christ often suffered alone, isolated. Think about his suffering in the garden. It was so intense that he sweat drops of blood. And even though in that moment he wanted his friends to support him, to understand him, to join him, they just didn't share in it. They slept through the whole thing. They slept while he wept. Here is your comfort in your suffering. Your comfort while you're suffering, and it's just unknown to everyone around you. Christ suffered alone for our sins so that we will never suffer alone. Those who are in Christ, if you're in Christ, you suffer in company with the suffering Son. In your afflictions, if you're a believer, you're sharing in the sufferings of Christ, just as you partake also of his glory. And so if you're in Christ, your sufferings may be unknown to everyone around you, but you don't suffer alone. Christ joins you, just as you are joining him.